He has all the talent in the world. He has the makings to be a great one. And
star.
Like you said, he needs some help around him, the offensive line. And it's not, you know, he knows he's got to play better. Everybody's got to play better. I think everybody understands that. It's not there yet. Go look at what Buffalo did with Josh Allen. They signed a veteran offensive line. They signed Mitch Morse to a big contract. All right, they're drafting Spencer, big offensive tackle. Deion Dawkins is nice on the left side. Go look at their backups in Buffalo. Those guys could be starters on any team in the National Football League. And that's across the board with that football team. It's a new regime, all right? Matt Eberflus, Ryan Poles, they're not responsible for the sins of the past. They're not. So everybody just needs to quit pointing the finger. Let these guys build it how they want to build it. All the pieces aren't in place, and they want to do it with a young, talented quarterback because that's where it starts. And the Bears have one in Justin Fields.
What's up? I'm Mark Grody. Yesterday, I was at Hall of Halas covering the Chicago Bears like I do. And as the day was wrapping up, some of us were in the media room. We got the TVs on and we're watching the Bills-Lions game. And I'm trying to get the hell out of there because I've got to go to my Thanksgiving dinner with my family. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, the game is on the score. So I'm going to go listen to this tie game between the Bills and the Lions. I get in, I punch button number one, 670 the score, and I hear the broadcast. And I'll be damned if it wasn't Jim Miller on the broadcast doing the game yesterday, a Bills 28-25 win over the Detroit Lions. And then today I get to host the next 2 hours of this show with the former Chicago Bears quarterback, Jim Miller. What's going on, Jim? How are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, I got called into duty. It was basically an audible by Howard Dinneroff, and I had to fill in for Tony Baselli. He was down, so I said, put me in, coach. Give me a chance. Just give me a chance. And so they called me in off the bench, and it was a pleasure to do it. And it was a really funny story behind it, too, because on Tuesday, I go to my 16-year-old son, Manny, and I say, hey, man, why don't we go to the Lions game on Thanksgiving game? You know, Josh Allen, everybody's coming to town. And then he goes and blabs to his mom, and his mom quickly shut it down. She's like, I got dinner scheduled for 1 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day. That's not happening. And then Howard calls me on Wednesday night. It was like late because Tony Baselli had bronchitis.
Okay.
And so I'm like, this is like a gift from the football gods. I get to go to the game. Now I get to call it. Are you serious? And so Manny stayed home. My wife's whole family came into town. So he stayed at home with family. I got to go to the game. It was an incredible game. And obviously filling in for Tony Baselli, Hall of Famer, there's big shoes to fill there.
Yeah.
Size, whatever you say, 17, 18.
Yeah.
But it was terrific. I had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I hope you did too, and I hope all of Chicago had a great Thanksgiving. But what a game.
Yeah, no, it was great. And it was all, because I was like, okay, I'm working with Jim. I was like, I don't know where he is. Is he going to be in the studio? What's he been up to? And then there you were. I'm like, okay, I know what's up. I know what's going on. Yesterday, and it was a hell of a game. And I haven't really talked about any of these games. The Bills beat the Lions 28-25. Tyler Bass, game-winning 45-yard field goal. Josh Allen was brilliant on the game-winning drive, 36 yards to Stephon Diggs, a couple of 12-yard runs on that final drive. So it was Buffalo doing what they do. And that's got to suck, though, for the Detroit Lions, because you're that close, Jim, for their sake. And this is, you know, this is the Bears competition, and the Lions are trying to build something going forward as well. They could have been 5-6 with a 4-game winning streak. Instead, they're 4-7. So that had to, like, in terms of this season and this team and what they're trying to do, that had to be a heartbreaker for them.
Well, it was a heartbreaker, but I think everybody understands they're trying to build something. You know, they're trying to build something. They, much like the Bears, they've got a new regime that has come in there. And I'll give you a funny story. So 2 years ago, same thing. Tony Baselli had COVID. So Howard Dinneroff calls me Christmas Day. He said, the Lions are playing Tampa Bay the day after Christmas. He said, Jim, I'm kind of in a jam. Can you go call the Lions game tomorrow? I said, yeah, what the hell? I'll go call the game.
Yeah.
And so go call the game. Lions are getting smoked. 38-0. At halftime. The game's over. I mean, it was a dog of a game. And I remember Chris Spielman, the former linebacker, he comes in. I'm friends with Chris. He comes into the booth and says, man, we had a break. And he's like, man, that's just a beat-down team. They're beat down mentally. They're beat down physically. They're beat down emotionally. And I even said during the broadcast, I said, this, it kind of looks like a pickup game. Like when you show up at the gym and, you know, guys are just, it's just a collection of individuals. But look where they are now. I mean, that team fights. That team fights. They're together. They know they're not. They're not the most talented team. I mean, even look at when the Bears faced the Lions 2 weeks ago. The Bears had them by two touchdowns. The Bears should have won that game.
Yeah.
The Bears should have closed it out.
Yeah.
But they're fighting. They've got Amon-Ra St. Brown. They're using every avenue they can to win and compete. And they're doing some things differently. Even yesterday, they had opportunities to win that game. It was kind of a David Girth versus Goliath type of game. But there they were. They were in it to the end.
Mm-hmm.
So you give a lot of credit to Dan Campbell. You give a lot of credit. And I'd say the same thing about the Bears. I think Matt Eberflus, I think Ryan Poles, they have given the Bears every opportunity because they are in games when they should not be because they're not where they need to be just yet.
Not yet. Not yet. That is the voice of Jim Miller. I am Mark Grody. Jim will be here with us until the 1 o'clock. I will be here until 2, at which time it will be a couple of Jim Miller's co-workers taking over. Gabe Ramirez and Luke Canellis will be on from 2 to 6 today. You think they'll be able to hold it down, Jim? It sounds like you're kind of interested in that. Yeah,
I think Lou's got the stamina. He just he just goes,
yeah,
you know?
Just go. Just like you, man.
Lou can roll.
Jared Goff yesterday, 23-37, 240, couple TDs. Jim mentioned Amon-Ra St. Brown. He had 122 yards and a TD. And before we get to the Bears, while we're on the Bears competition, the Vikings are interesting too. They beat the Patriots yesterday 33-26. Kirk Cousins, 299, three touchdown passes. Justin Jefferson, just great. Nine catches, 139 yards, and a touchdown. So the Patriots are 6-5. The Vikings are 9-2, but they feel like that 9-2 team, Jim, that nobody really trusts as a 9-2 team. Where do you land with the Vikings right now?
Yeah, I think that they still have some work to do defensively, in my opinion. And at time, you know, and again, a lot of it's on Kirk Cousins. You know, if he's got to play mistake free football. You know, he's known. Even I look at the game versus the Bears earlier in the year. Here they come out the second half. He throws that interception to Kendall Vidor on a bootleg naked. That should never happen. You know, so he makes some uncharacteristic miscues that are really untimely for Kirk Cousins. Again, him winning in primetime. I like their offensive line. I certainly love the tight end and the trade they made with Detroit for Hockenson. Jefferson is incredible, and they've got a good running back in Delvin Cook. So their skill position players are pretty good, so it really relies on the decision-making of Kirk. So they can get into track meet if they need to, but defensively, they're not there. I really am a big fan of Ed Donatell, but it's probably going to take more than just 1 year for him to get all the pieces in place defensively.
No doubt. And Ed Donatell, the former Bears secondary coach as well, so Bears fans and you and I, Jim, obviously familiar with Ed Donatell and his ways and his motivational tactics as well. I should make it clear, the phone lines are open. If you have a Bears question or a Bears thought that you want to run by Jim Miller or me, Mark Grody, we're opening them right now, 312-644-6767, or about the games yesterday. Like I said, I didn't watch them closely because I did my work at House Hall yesterday, then I was off to my Thanksgiving stuff. But certainly, and you know, Jim did the broadcast of the Bills and Lions. If you'd like to talk about the NFL at large, 312-644-6767. So your calls are absolutely welcome. The Bears at the Jets on Sunday. Jim, I don't know where you stand with everything that has gone on with Justin Fields and the injury that he has, having been limited in practice the last couple of days. Have you ever had that injury similar to what he has, and do you think he could or should play on Sunday?
Yeah, I think, well, first off, football players are paid to play football, right? If they can play, then you play. And I think that's what basically Matt Eberflus said. You just saw Josh Allen play yesterday. He's played 2 weeks with an ulnar collateral ligament issue, right? He played.
Yeah.
Right? So if you can play, you play. That's what football players are played to do. Yes, I have played with that injury. I've separated my non-throwing shoulder, my left shoulder. This was back in college. I had a third-degree separation, so it's really a pain tolerance issue is what it is. And much like Josh Allen, if you can play, then you play. You put a donut on it. You try to go out there. You play smart. You protect yourself. And I think that's what Josh Allen has done for the Bills. You know, you look at last week and their victory, and they had a rough week, man. Think of the Bills. You know, they get the snowstorm. They got to come to Detroit. They had no practice at all. They basically did it virtually, and then they beat the Cleveland Browns, right? And this guy's playing with a ligament issue himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went out there and played, and they got the victory. But he was smart about it. You know, if you look at the Buffalo Bills, they had 400 yards of offense yesterday. 330 of it was through Josh Allen.
God.
330.
Yeah.
This guy 3 weeks ago, he was averaging 375 yards a game.
Wow.
The whole offense goes through him.
Yeah.
But he played smart against Cleveland. He didn't run as much. He protected himself. Yesterday, you know, he went out and, you know, you could tell the elbow was still an issue. He missed some passes. They dropped some passes. He was wild on some things. But Josh Allen's going to be Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he throws that laser beam there with 23 seconds left to Stephon Diggs. And they kick a field goal. And then after that, he rushed for 11 yards. And then they kick a field goal. And they walk away winners. So, yeah.
Do you football. Think he should play? You think he should play?
Yeah, I think he should play. I think for him, and he's a tough kid. I mean, I like Justin Fields. I think he's mentally tough, but I think it's something that you got to check the box. You got to check the box. It's going to test you mentally, your mental toughness as a player, and you've got to be able to manage some things. So, yeah, if he's healthy enough to play, he should play. Football players are paid to play football.
When I said the phone lines, like, people are welcome to call, Jim, they are lighting up right now. So in 312-644-6767 is the phone number. If you'd like to ask Jim Miller or me, Mark, or both of us a question, you want to run something by us, a specific question, Jim Miller will be here until 1 o'clock. So feel free to jump in. Let's get right to it here, shall we, Jim? Are you down with that? Are you ready? Are you ready for the score callers?
I'm good, bro. Let's roll. Post Turkey Day. Let's go.
Absolutely. It's time to get serious, folks. Cesar Perez will be bringing you guys in. Let's start with Adam in Libertyville. Hi, Adam. You're on the score with Jim Miller and Mark Grody.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Hey, just a quick question. So, Jim, I would love your take here. I know you mentioned, wanting to get Fields in the game. He needs to play. Realistically, though, what are we looking for in terms of his development? What are we hoping to see? Because I think, you know, we've seen a situation where the offensive line doesn't pass the eye test. But frankly, advanced metrics on win rate have been okay in both pass blocking and run blocking. You've got a quarterback in Justin Fields that holds the ball the longest of any quarterback in the NFL. And you've got a receiver group that, frankly, is having major issue trying to find separation. So, you know, asking Justin Fields, who's injured, to take the next step, is really a challenging concept. But specifically, you know, if we're looking for him to take the next step, what are you looking for? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And it's a great question. Mm-hmm. I want to see Justin Fields play the game from the pocket, just like you do. Right? He's a mobile guy. He's very athletic. He's got a big arm. He's smart. He's tough. He's strong. He's everything you want. I want to see him play the game from the pocket. You know, just like that, the late 2 minute drive last week that the Bears failed at against Atlanta. That's the time Justin, much like Josh Allen yesterday, played from the pocket and drove his team to victory. So all those things that you just said, holding the ball too long, process information, you know, you've got to be able to sit back there, dissect it all, and get it to the open guy. You know, I think that's what we have not seen yet from Justin Fields, and I think we all know a lot of the games in the NFL come down to that. They come down to a late game drive like what Josh Allen did yesterday to win the game for your team. You know, it's 70% of the games in the NFL.
Jim,
I think that's what we have yet to see from Justin Fields.
And I agree with everything you just said. What is it? Why aren't they doing it then? What happened in those first five games?
Well, it's you know, I've said this all along. He, through training camp, nobody is gelled. All right? You sign these receivers who are mediocre, you know, Pringle, whoever. You know, now they're trying to upgrade in getting guys like Chase Claypool. They're trying to upgrade with N'Keal Harry, who got hurt right away. You draft Velus Jones, who wasn't even there at training camp. Justin Fields hasn't worked with any of these guys. None of them. Other than Mooney. And that's who he has the most rapport with. Right? Him and Cole Kmet. So those other guys have to start getting involved. All right? They're now, they're back at practice. They're working with one another. He'll get on the same page with Chase Claypool. He'll get to know Velus Jones Jr. a little bit more because Velus Jones is going to play. All right? He's a draft pick, and they're going to play him. That's what the Bears' whole year is about. It's about the growth and development of young players. I've said it over and over again, and that's what it's about. And so it's still, they have not worked as a unit together. It will come. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
It will come. It's just nobody wants to be patient. Everybody wants it now.
Oh, of course.
And it's going to take some time.
Yeah. So let me see if I could put it concisely, question-wise. Mm. And so are you saying that it's more about the players around Justin Fields, the skill players, the offensive line? Is it more the players around him than Justin Fields' shortcomings himself that have paused his progress in terms of being a pocket quarterback? Did they abandon that and go? Because it's been great what we have seen since the Washington game. It's been a blast to watch. But did they make that really distinct change because they're like, Justin Fields is just not ready for this. He's not throwing, getting the ball. He's not reading the defense. Or is it because of, is it more the people around him? What's the ratio?
I think it's everything. There's so many variables that are in play here. You know, even say, go back to last week in the loss against Atlanta. All right, so I'm watching the second half. The Bears' offense is kind of struggling. He's a little banged up. You know, and the Bears' offensive line can't pick up a T.E. twist stunt by Atlanta.
The twist stunts, that was...
Yeah. And they suck at sacking the quarterback. They're terrible.
Uh-huh.
They are terrible.
Yeah.
All right? But they knew, going back, if you were to go back games, I said, man, the Bears can't even pick up a Mike Sam or Mike Will cross-dog blitz. The offensive linemen weren't picking it up. You know, and then it rears its ugly head again against Atlanta. And Atlanta can pass rush nobody. But Dean Pease, being their defensive coordinator, is like, man, these guys stink at picking up twists. So let's run some twists. And then they get some sacks because the Bears' offensive line can't pick it up. So all these things compound. So it's the offensive line. It's the lack of experience at receiver. It's a young second-year quarterback who's learning. And all these things are happening at once. So there are a lot of variables that they need to get better at. It's not just Justin Fields. It's the O-line. It's inexperienced players who are new to the system and a new scheme, and it's going to take some time.
When we come back, and that's the voice of Jim Miller, I'm Mark Rohde, we're going to take your calls, and we will get to you guys. Be patient with us. We will get to your calls, 312-644-6767. To your point about the Atlanta game, Luke Getsy was talking about what Atlanta did. I'm going to get a little bit more into the weeds on what Luke Getsy said they were doing to defend Justin Fields last week. And I want to find out if what Atlanta did, and we'll hear it in deep terms from Luke Getsy, if that is possibly the template going forward. So we'll hear a little bit of Luke Getsy. We'll take your phone calls, and we are talking Bears until 1 o'clock with Jim Miller. I'll be here until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
EQ surrounded by Velus Jones and Cole Kmet. Velus Jones in motion now, left to right. Keeper. Fields cuts inside, left to the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
Maybe you were right.
Four-yarder by Justin Fields. Another rushing touchdown. That will be number 7 this season for Fields, and the Bears lead 16-7 here in Atlanta.
Chuck Joniak with a call on our sister station right down the hallway, WBBM Radio. I'm Mark Rohde, along with Jim Miller. We are here talking Bears Jim is with us until 1 o'clock. I'll be here until 2, 312-644-6767. We've got a bunch of people on hold. They text from the 708. Grody, I know he's a commentator and analyst, but have you ever interviewed Jim Miller? You should use a segment to ask him about his time as a Bears QB, life inside Halas Hall, Soldier Field grass, those hits he took from the Eagles' defense and offense on the Bears. Love listening. That is from Frank. And Jim Miller probably doesn't know this, but Jim, two of my favorite non-1980s Chicago Bears teams are, number one, 1994, because it was an improbable road victory for the Bears in the playoffs for Dave Wanstead's Bears in Minnesota. So I have a soft spot for that team. And God, did I love the Jim Miller-led 2001 Chicago Bears under Dick Geron, a 13-3 season, the back-to-back Mike Brown pick sixes to win the game against Cleveland and San Francisco. I don't remember the exact order, but what a fantastic season that was, Jim, until Hugh Douglas came along and ruined everything.
Yeah, well, part of it was my own doing, because Dez White made a great read. Dez White, if everybody remembers, was a receiver.
Yes.
Reran 208. It's play called 208. And the corner was sitting, and Dez ran by him and waved his hand. If I would have thrown that ball to the back corner pylon just a little bit more, it wouldn't have been an interception. It would have been a touchdown. It was a great play, and it was a great read by Dez White. And then, lo and behold, it gets picked off, and Hugh Douglas body slams me. He gets fined. It took me six surgeries to get my shoulder right.
Wow.
Had really screwed up my shoulder.
Oh, I was mean. I remember that. I was like, I was so pissed at him, man. Like, so I'm glad we're talking this through right now. I need this.
Yeah, Jim. Well, I'm ready for a cage match whenever. You know, if he wants to go, we'll go. You want to go, you want to throw. Want to talk, let's take a walk. But I'm ready to go.
Let's go to the phones. We'll reminisce more, I'm sure, between now and 1 o'clock. But before I get out of hand, let's go to Steve in Peoria. Hi, Steve. You're on the Score with Jim Miller and Mark Grody.
Hi there, Mark and Jim. Great talking to you.
Thank you.
My question sort of goes in a follow-on to Jim's statement that we want to see Justin in the pocket, okay? My question is this. It sounds like if Simeon is in, that they're going to have more of a quick slant type, quick throw type of game plan, okay? Why don't they have the same thing for Justin Fields? I mean, Mustafa is a turnstile. Schofield was, a screen door. And how can he be a pocket passer with those two interior not being able to stop anything?
It's a good question, Steve. Thank you. Yeah. Jim, what do you think? I mean, we kind of touched on what it's the chicken or the egg, in this case, the offensive line.
Regardless whether it's Trevor Siemian or Justin Fields, this game demands a quick passing game of what the Jets defense, right?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter who's in there. The game plan would be the same regardless of who's playing quarterback, because that's what this game commands. So your opponent dictates that, I think the Bears, and I've said it all along, they're staying in their lane. They're running the football. You've got a young quarterback who typically, for quarterbacks, your first year, you're trying to figure it out. And Justin got thrown in there. He wasn't ready to play. He shouldn't have played last year. And this should be his first year starting, because he wasn't ready to play. And I even called the Bears game in the preseason against the Buffalo Bills, where he missed a Sam Blitz and almost got decapitated.
Oh, my God. That was horrifying.
Right? I'm like, he didn't even know what he was seeing.
Yeah.
Or what he was facing. So typically what happens for quarterbacks, your first year, you're figuring out your offense. Your second year, you're now understanding defenses and what they're presenting. By your third year, you put it together and you should be hitting the ground running. And by your fourth year, now you're taking off. So use Josh Allen as an example.
Mm-hmm.
He struggled his first year in Buffalo. He was blowing gaskets, making dumb decisions, dumb reads, but athletically, he's the most talented guy in the field, much like Justin Fields. Okay, and then the second year, he's starting to put it together. They go to the playoffs. He blows a game against Houston where he completely was blowing gaskets out there. And the coach said, hey, you got to put this together. And so Justin this year he's going to make his mistakes, but by next year he'll start to understand defenses and what he's being presented, and now he'll be able to start attacking them. And he's in a completely new scheme. So again, nobody wants to hear this. Nobody wants to be patient. Let the young man grow and develop. So if he plays against the Jets on Sunday, I want to see him get the ball out of his hand, because it's going to be the quick passing game, no different than what Trevor Siemian's going to have.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to go through these things. He's got to see it. He's got to learn it. He's got to experience it. And even if he's banged up and he's hurt, he's got to negotiate it. It's part of the deal. Josh Allen just did it. Why can't Justin Fields do it?
Amen. And he's got the skills. I mean, that's the thing. Like, not everybody has to be a great pocket quarterback. But the thing is, and I think this is what you're saying, Jim, and this is certainly what I believe, he's got it in him. He's got it in him to be a great pocket passer. You know, I mean, we're not just saying this, like, take this guy who should be a running quarterback and force him to be a pocket guy. No, the arm strength is there. It's all there. It's just not there yet. You know what I mean? Like, he's got the skills to do it. There are guys that if they were with the Bears and like Trubisky, like it never looked like the arm talent or the ability to read a defense like that. That faded away from me. With Justin Fields, it's not. It's all there. It just needs to be honed.
Yeah, but you know, even with Trubisky, you know, you had a coach that wanted him to be Patrick Mahomes when he's not Patrick Mahomes. All right? Right. And so you've got to cater your offense to the skills of what you're able to do. And Getsy is doing that with Justin Fields. Everybody sees it. The guy just rushes for 178 yards. He's setting records that nobody's ever done.
Right.
Because the coach knows who the player is right now.
Exactly.
And now when the player does develop into a pocket passer and he can do all the things, it will expand. It will grow. They'll be able to do all of those things because Justin Fields is able to do it, and he'll have a line that's able to do it, and that's when it'll all come together. But it's not there yet, as you said.
Yeah, let me play something from Luke Getsy. This is from yesterday. And we touched on it a little bit earlier, but Getsy gets pretty specific on this, on what Atlanta did to the Bears using their defensive ends and their safeties. And then, Jim, I want to get your reaction to it, explanation, and see if it sounds right to you. Here's Luke Getsy.
He said after the game, Justin, that Atlanta played a lot of quarters, and then he and David talked about they were charging the mesh and you're making the zone rates a little more difficult. What the way Atlanta played you guys, what were those challenges? And is that the type of thing you think other teams might try?
Yeah, no, I thought we really countered it pretty well. You know, what the mesh charge kind of just, you know, makes you make a decision quicker. And so, you know, he had that bubble. If you remember the bubble, it became a lateral. You know, you wish you would hand that off in the mesh charge situation. But other than that, I thought the guys handled it pretty well, the backs and Justin both. And so, yeah, you always have to have a plan for a bunch of different ways. You can get the mesh charge. You can get the surfing technique. You can get the bend and chase. And so you can get a lot of different techniques that we have to be ready for each week.
Jim, what did you think of that?
Yeah, the Bears do have to be prepared for that. Like I said, the twist stunts, that's hurt the Bears earlier in the year. And so teams are going to run what you're unable to pick up because you haven't stopped it yet. You know, and, you know, when you talk about quarters coverage, you know, for the listeners out there, quarters coverage, all that is each DB. So imagine four defensive backs. You've got your corner, your left corner, your safety, free safety, your strong safety, your corner. All right, quarters coverage. They each have a quarter of the field. Mm-hmm. That's all that means. So the weakness is the flats. The flats. All right, that is the vulnerable area because your linebackers, it's hard for them if they're in the box to buzz out there to get to the flats. So you've got to pepper the flats in order to get them out of that quarter's coverage and get them to react is all that is. And so it's just a way of how you've got to attack defense. That's why coach said a bubble. A bubble is a flat play, right? It attacks the flat area that you're trying to exploit. And so the Bears just have to execute it better. You know, that last series was just kind of chaotic. I mean, it looked like it was going to be a draw play to the running back, and then Justin runs up in there. So that, to me, was just a wasted play because it wasn't communicated correctly. And then he rolls to the left and, of course, hurts his shoulder.
And there was a block miss on that play, too.
Yeah.
So that's the irony. that when they're running those plays to the edge, to the sideline, those are designed so the quarterback doesn't have to take a hit to get out of bounds. And if everybody is blocking, and there was a block missed by Braxton Jones, so that, you know, and yeah, I was like everybody, like that. It just didn't seem like they had the because if you're game planning all week with your running quarterback, all of a sudden you get to a spot where you need to throw the ball and you just don't have that in your arsenal. Isn't that kind of what it is?
Yeah, I think that's just that's an area that they need to improve. Justin's got to grow. He's, again, a second-year quarterback, and he'll learn all those things, and he'll be able to do that. I mean, we've seen it in college. He's been able to do it. He's got all the talent in the world. He's a smart kid. He doesn't make typically the same mistake twice. There's a lot of looks he still has not seen that he's going to put in his mental Rolodex where he'll file it away, and then the next time that it happens, it's called recall where, oh, I've kind of been here before. I'm trying to do this.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to combat it with this. And so he'll get there.
Yep.
He's too good of a player.
Amen. Let's go to Wayne in Oswego. Wayne, thanks for holding on, man. What's your question?
Mark Grody.
Wayne.
My friend, it's Wayne in Lafayette. Oh. Man, I don't know where Oswego is. Oh. I've never been there.
I see Oswego on my phone over here.
Hey.
It's good to hear from you, Wayne.
Oh, my God. Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, great.
Hey,
happy Thanksgiving. Yep, got Jim Miller here.
What's up, Wayne?
The greatest talk to Jim. Hey, you guys. One thing, Grody, did your shrimp make the trip yesterday?
My shrimp made the trip. Yeah, I had to keep it in my car while I was at Hallis Hall, and luckily it stayed frozen. I still had to thaw it out once I got to the party, but thanks for asking, Wayne.
Happy for that. Hey, got a couple things for you guys. One thing, right down the road here is Aiden O'Connell in Purdue. He played high school ball up there in Chicago area. He gets over 300-some yards passing. You think he might be worth a look at a later round draft pick? And also, when the Colts played the Jaguars, first game, they got blown out. The second game, your man Greg Doyle, he was talking about this in the paper, about how the second time around, the Colts went to hurry up and no huddle, and they beat Jacksonville. Do you think that would be good? Are the Bears good enough to run that? And you think that would be good in the next couple, three games for them to play, Jim, in Mark?
Well, I wouldn't want to run hurry up against the New York Jets and what they do. One, there's no reason to. Their offense is struggling. There are certain times in a game where you can do it. Like typically when you go hurry up, you want to keep their defensive personnel on the field. All right. You feel that you've got mismatches where, all right, let's hurry up. Let's keep this. This is a certain guy we want to attack, and we're going to up tempo because they're not going to make substitutions because they're right where you want them to be. So I don't think the Bears need to do that against the Jets. There are some games that call for it, you know, like, if you want to, you know, attack certain areas of a team because you think their base offense is an area you want to attack and the personnel groupings that they have on the field that you feel you can exploit. But I don't think this is a game to do it against the New York Jets.
No, I don't think you want to play that against one of the top defenses in the National Football League. But, Wayne, we appreciate your thoughts on that. And that is the voice of Jim Miller. I'm Mark Grody. After a break, more of your calls. We've got a couple lines open, 312-644-6767. I also want to ask Jim a question about the Bears' defense. We're going to listen to Alan Williams and the Bears' inability to get to the quarterback this year. They have struggled. They have tried things, and they ain't getting home. So that is coming up as well. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Of course, I'm not going to sacrifice playing in this game for me risking that I might not be able to play later in game. So I'm not going to, you know, sacrifice playing this game and I'll get hurt and then have to sit out, you know, two or three more weeks after that. So again, just, you know, seeing how my body feels, listening to my body, you know, making sure I'm not, you know, forcing anything and stuff like that. And, you know, just seeing how it goes.
Justin Fields and the Bears will be hitting the practice field about 10 minutes from right now out in Lake Forest. Matt Eberflus scheduled to speak at 1:40. It is just before that the injury report will come out, so we'll have better idea. My guess is that Fields will be designated as a game time decision. So I don't know if we'll have closure, but there will be designations. We'll find out if he is considered a full participant in practice or not today. And I will definitely let you know when that goes down. And along with Jim Miller, I am Mark Grody, 312-644-6767. We are taking your phone calls on the Bears, and let's get right back to it and start with Ron in Washington. Hi, Ron. You're on the Score with Miller and Grody.
Hey, Mark and Jim. Great talking to you guys. Hope you guys are having a great holiday weekend.
Thank you.
So I had a question about the Atlanta game at the end there. It appeared to me and my friends when we were watching the pick that Justin threw that he might have been looking at Mooney coming on the crosser behind Montgomery. He kind of floated it. It looked like it was going to maybe go to Mooney. Montgomery jumps up, tips it, ultimately gets intercepted and picked off. I know he...
Oh, there he goes. Jim, what'd you think?
Yeah, well, I think Justin already said he was going to David Montgomery. He was trying to go to the checkdown. So, you know, it's his non-throwing shoulder. That's really your arm that where you got to pull it through in order to get the ball down. I mean, you never want to throw high to running backs because typically they wear bigger shoulder pads. It's, you know, anytime you throw it above their heads, you're going to be in the, you know, the that, what should I say, what unfolded is going to happen where you get a
right.
ball.
So yeah, that is the result.
Anytime you throw to a running back, you want to put it at their face mask or at their chest or minimum at their belt line. All right, that's where you want it to be. And Justin was trying to go to him, whether he could or could not pull down through his left shoulder because he was injured, I think would probably be the issue on that one. Otherwise, you just got to make it a dart throw where you just kind of throw it like a dart and put it right on him in his face mask. But I think Justin even said he was trying to go to David Montgomery.
Let's go to Brian and he did. Let's go to Brian in Twin Lakes. Hi, Brian, you're on the Score.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm working right now. I'm a UPS driver, so you got to bear with me here. Anyway, I had a couple questions. One was mostly Justin Fields, but listening to you guys talk, I had one offensive line question. I've never played football, so it's hard for me to relate to some of this stuff. But Jim Miller said these guys aren't picking up on stunts and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So my question is it a technique thing, or are they just not good enough to get the stunts?
Yeah, well, one, I think you got to be a savvy player. A lot of times when you go up to the line of scrimmage and the quarterback's going through his cadence, the defensive line is going to give you tips, all right? So depending on their stance, maybe the defensive tackle is maybe off the ball a little bit more, like say on a TE stunt, which is a tackle and defensive end twist that they run, and they'll give you clues. All right, and then, of course, the tackle and the guard have to communicate to one another. It's like, hey, man, even before the snap, they say, hey, man, watch the TE stunt. It's coming, you know, just by their alignment.
They weren't identifying it, though, were they? I mean, there right, wasn't. Yeah. I don't think there was the communication.
Yeah, clearly when the guard goes out and he's still blocking the defensive tackle when he knows that he's setting up the defensive end to come underneath. You know, so that's what you have to call, you have to pass that off. And the guard has to feel that. All right, well, why is this defensive tackle going all the way out to the right tackle and beyond? And, whoa, ding, 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 I may have to pick up the defensive end that is now crossing and coming over. So, you know, you've got to expect that thing. You got to expect those things. One, it'll be on tape. All right, so your opponents, whether they're capable of doing it, and of course, because the Bears have struggled to do it, teams are going to run it until they're able to show that they can pick it up. So, you know, and Dean Pease, the reason why he's doing it, because he saw earlier in the year, the Atlanta Falcons have no pass rush, zero at all. They're like dead last in the league in sacks. And so Dean Pease says, all right, well, how do I manufacture it? We feel that we can get some sacks or minimally we can get pressure on Justin Fields by running some defensive stunts because the Bears O-line have struggled to pick up defensive stunts. So we're going to throw it at them because they haven't shown that they can block it.
Yeah,
then they got three sacks.
Yeah, they did. And it was the obvious thing to do by Dean Pease. He did it, and for his sake, his players were able to execute it. We're talking a little bit more about the Bears defense too, because they only have 15 sacks this year. They're not getting home, and we're going to play some Allen Williams in a little bit. But let me take one more call, because this will mean if we take Kevin in Northbrook, which we're about to do, we will have finished our first bank of phone calls, and then we can go back to the top because we are refreshing as we speak. Let's go to Kevin in Northbrook. What's up, Kevin? You're on the Score.
Yeah, gentlemen, my question is, where did the Bears doctors go to medical school? Was it South Central Louisiana State?
Whoa. Why do you say that?
No, wait, let me finish. How can the most important person in Hallis Hall, he's hurt and he gets cleared to practice?
He's practicing on a limited basis. I promise you, those Bears doctors out there have no interest in putting the franchise quarterback, or at least we think he is, the franchise quarterback in danger. So I kind of disagree with that premise. And I know it's fun to rip on medical staff, but I can't believe that those doctors would be interested at all in taking a chance. And in fact, they're probably the voice of reason.
Well, then here's another question. Why don't they sit him? He's hurt. Sit him for the rest of the year. I know, Jim, you're going to disagree with me, but that means the Bears are picking second next year. That means Will Anderson on the line, defensive line, for the next 15 years.
Kevin, thanks for the call. Jim, what do you think?
One, why would you want to sit Justin Fields for the rest of the year? All right, that's the only – he's got to grow. He's got to develop. Again, football players are paid to play football.
Yeah.
So,
and I'll admit, Jim, I'm more in the camp of I would like to see him sit this week, but not like a lot of people are into the, well, you sit him for the next 3 weeks because you could sit him this week and then the Green Bay game and then you have the bye, and I'm like, no.
He's got a separated shoulder. Do you think that Justin Fields is the only player to play with a separated shoulder?
Right.
Like I said, Josh Allen's out there playing with the collateral.
That was a great comp. I mean,
why should Buffalo sit Josh Allen? He's 80% of their offense. They're not sitting Josh Allen. Football players are paid to play football.
Yeah, I mean, the leg thing kind of scares me a little bit too, but I guess the argument can be made with
I think even for Justin Fields, and I said this to Anthony Heron when we did the postgame, typically when you play in indoor stadiums, and every stadium is ventilated differently, we all understand that, but once the crowd comes in there, it becomes like a sauna.
Yeah.
It becomes like a sauna, and you start to perspire and you sweat. And, you know, so for Justin, and maybe it's something the Bears need to monitor, and I played with a lot of players that did this, they knew that how much they perspire in a game. They would get an IV at halftime. They would get an IV before the game, and they would get an IV at halftime to make sure they didn't have any cramping issues.
Yeah.
Because you learn. Again, you have to check these boxes, so to speak, so that you don't run into future problems. And players would monitor that. They know their bodies. And so, hey, man, I feel I'm starting to cramp up. Hey, I want an IV at halftime. You tell the trainers, and you get it done so that you don't have any problems in the second half. So that's something that maybe Justin needs to know about himself, because he's exerting himself more. More offense is going through him. There's more demands on his body. So you've got to preserve your body and protect your body and know your body in order to deal with those things.
That's Jim Miller. I'm Mark Grody. When we return, we will continue on with your calls at 312-644-6767. This is a good time to get in as we get to our second bank of phone calls with Jim Miller. And I'm going to play some Allen Williams for Jim, too. We're going to figure out why the Bears defense has not been able to get home and how to perhaps remedy that themselves in doing what other defensive coordinator, do what you have to do to get to the quarterback. So we will cover all that coming up. Miller and Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.